rugged cross,
I will ever be true.
It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share.
Oh, sing it now.
So I'll cherish the
rugged cross
till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and I'll exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, this morning to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10. It is right at 11:25 right now. And if you'll listen close, I'll be through when I get through. So I would just appreciate you paying attention and helping me out that way, all right? Acts chapter 10, we're going to begin reading in verse 34. The Bible says there, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin." You would bow together with us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I need your help today. And Lord, I pray you'd help. And Lord, you not only help me, but help those that are listening to listen, to hear. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit have free reign today to deal with us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I have found in my life that there is one sure way to avoid most of the trouble that people get into. And it's not complicated. It is not a difficult thing to do. But a lot of people just seem like they just can't do it. All right? And now, that secret I found years ago is actually very simple. It worked for me at home. It worked for me at school when I was in school. It worked for me on the job. It worked for me when I was dealing with the police. He said, "Preacher, when did you deal with the police? You never been stopped for a ticket?" I have a time or two. Best of all, it works for me when I'm dealing with God and God's dealing with me. All right? You might think, well, okay, what's the secret? Okay, simple. Just do what you're told to do. Now, some of you said, "Come on, I was expecting something big." All right, I told you it's simple. Just do what you're told to do. When I was a kid growing up at home, I'd have problems if I did what I was told to do. I didn't have problems. When I was at school, I didn't have problems. I had teachers I didn't like. But I learned if I do what I'm told to do, I stayed out of trouble. I mean, I went to school with other kids. They just couldn't seem to get that right. And I mean, they got in trouble. They had all kinds of problems. And I'm sitting over there thinking, y'all are crazy. You just do what you're told to do. I found out it worked at the job. I've had bosses. I had a boss before. I didn't like what they told me to do. But I just did what they said to do. And you know what? It worked. Stayed out of a lot of problems. You know what? If you'll do that with the police, you'll be amazed how much it'd help you. See what they say? Man, if a policeman told me to stop, I'm going to stop. If they say don't get out of the car, I'm not getting out of the car. Now, when my dad was, I was a kid, and my dad would get pulled over, he'd pull over and immediately get out of the car. And I used to do that because he did it. But I wouldn't do it anymore. That would be a mistake, all right? I just believe there's been a lot of people that they cannot do what the police tell them to do, and they have trouble. Just do it, all right? And let me say this to you. It sure works when you're dealing with God. Now, are you sitting there wondering, preacher, what's any of that got to do with what we just read in the Bible? Well, it's got a lot to do. I want you to see, all right? I want you to see it here, if you would. Peter, in this chapter, had an absolutely life-changing experience. Now, we didn't read that part, all right? But it resulted in him saying what he said in verse 34. He said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. I've mentioned to you, I think last Sunday, that those Jews, all that the Lord had done and all that he had done for them and promised, the Jews really looked at that as that's just for us. It's not for you Gentiles. It's just for us Jews, and so God had to open the eyes of Peter. And he did it here in chapter 10, all right? He did it. He had gave Peter a vision of a sheet that was let down from heaven with all kinds of animals in it. And God said, rise and kill and eat. But it had animals in it that were unclean. And Peter said, I can't do that, Lord. I've never eaten anything that's unclean. And that's when God laid it on him and said, don't you call anything unclean that I've called clean. And he changed that and he sent him to go to the house of Cornelius. And he's at the house of Cornelius when he said what he said right here that we read. And I want you to focus down on verse 42, all right? Verse 42. Notice what it says. And he commanded us. And remember what I said, do what you're told to do. Do what you're told to do. So I want you to notice what he said, what he commanded us to do. Now, he said he commanded us to preach. Now, a lot of you right there said, not me. I ain't no preacher. Well, wait a minute. He didn't call you to preach. He commanded you to preach. Say, what's the difference? I don't have time to go into all of that today, all right? But he commanded us to preach. You say, what am I supposed to preach? That's what we're going to talk about, all right? Do what you're told to do. Notice what he said. The first thing, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he. Hey, the first thing is a matter of identification. Matter, you preach and let them know who it is we're talking about, all right? It's not just any old body. It is a specific he, and the identity of that one, that he, is of supreme importance today, all right? He's the one mentioned up there in verse 38, all right? Verse 38, that's who he's talking about. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That's the he, the one that was anointed by God and given power. The one who came, all right? He's the one the Bible says went about doing good. Amen. Everywhere he went, Jesus was doing good. I mean, you find him out there, he's feeding the 5,000. He's healing the sick. He's giving sight to the blind. He's opening the ears of the deaf. He's helping the lame man to walk. He's raising the dead. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. I mean, everywhere along the line, that's him. Hey, he never met anyone with a need that he couldn't fill. Hey, would you listen to me this morning? You hear me today? You don't have a need he can't fill. You say, well, preacher, I've got a lot. You don't have a need he can't fill. I don't care what it is or what it might be. But that's the one, hey, we identify who we're preaching about. I don't want you to come to church and think, after you leave, wonder who he is talking about. I don't want you to leave here like that. I want you to know that he, all right? I want you to know who it is. He's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that went to the cross. That's what the Bible tells us about it, all right? He went to the cross. The Bible said they slew him and hung him on a tree there in verse 39. That's the he. That's the Jesus we're talking about. You'll find people today named Jesus. Now, us English-speaking people, we'd see that name and we'd think Jesus. All right? It's Jesus, but not just any Jesus. It's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That one born of a virgin. That's the he we're talking about. That one who went to that cross, he took our sin in his body and bore it on that tree. That's the he we're talking about. He's the one not only that died, a boy encouraging, he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. Verse 40, now God raised up the third day, showed him openly, all right? He is the one that Peter and many others saw after the resurrection. Hey, it wasn't, the Bible said, what, over 500 brethren at once saw him after he is raised from the dead? It wasn't done in a corner. This wasn't something that happened and nobody knew about and just one or two claimed to see it. It's not like the golden plates they claim to have interpreted the Book of Mormon from, all right? Hey, there was plenty of people saw it. Plenty of people saw him. He's the one whom God manifest in the flesh. He literally was God in a human body. He wasn't an imposter. He wasn't an actor. And he wasn't the devil, as some accused him of being in that day when he was here. He wasn't. And can I say this to you? I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. You said, where would you be, preacher? I don't know. But I wouldn't be here. There's no other one that would bring me here today to stand and speak to you. There's no other he that I would want to point you to than Jesus Christ. He's the reason we're here. That one. So we're going to identify him. We're going to see that identification. But I also want you to see, we're not only to preach unto the people to testify that it is he. But notice what that verse said in verse 42, which was ordained of God. Hey, we're to proclaim that ordination. So what does that mean, that word ordinate, or to ordain? That means he was the one God selected and set aside to do something. God made that choice. God chose him, all right? He was ordained of God. Now, you can like it or not, but it was God's choice as to what he would do and how he would do it, and that includes the one he would use to do it. that's God's business. And you say, well, I didn't get a vote. There's a lot of things you and I don't get a vote about, all right? It's not our prerogative. Hey, we didn't vote on whether or not God, we're going to do what God says. We're just commanded to do it. We don't get a vote on it. Well, I don't think he meant it. Well, he said it. Why don't we just take what he said, all right? Just take it. He was the one that God chose. He chose his son. He chose his son. He chose that son and ordained him to be the one that would come and take away the sin of the world. But I want to point out something to you. Who else would he have chosen? Who else could have done it? Truth is, there's really no other choice. There was just no other choice. Nobody else. Nobody else could have done what Jesus Christ did for man. You say, why you make such a big deal of Jesus? That's the reason right there. Nobody else could have done it. Only he could have done that. Only he could have come to this earth. Only he could have taken upon himself the form of a man. Only he could have lived a sinless life. Do you realize what that means? Our best day is not sinless. The best day we have. I mean, you know, you trying your best. We can't live a sinless day. Can't do it. I've got a friend that said his aunt did. I just disagree with him, all right? No, I guarantee you, we why? Because we got a sin problem. We do. But wait a minute. That is the fact we're to proclaim. That is the fact we're to give testimony to. We're to testify, hey, it was Jesus. God chose his son. God chose him. God sent him for us. So we've got to preach that identification. We've got to proclaim that ordination. But we also have to warn of adjudication. He said, do what? Well, look there in verse 42. Verse 42. Notice what the Bible says. It was he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. We're to testify to the fact, and we're to warn people, because that's the only other way I know to say it, to warn people there is going to be that adjudication. We're going to be judged. We're going to be a judge. He was ordained to be that judge, the quick and the dead. You said, who's that? The living and the dead. You can't get away from it. Can't get away from it. So, well, I'll just die. That'll show them. I won't take it away. You're still going to stand in judgment. I'm going to stand in judgment. Everybody that ever lives is going to stand in judgment. God is going to judge the quick and the dead. He was chosen to be the propitiation, the payment for our sin. He was chosen to be the substitute to die in our place. He's also the one chosen to be the judge of all mankind. Can't escape that judgment. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You will stand before God in judgment. You say, why do you keep hammering that? Because I want to warn you it's coming. Going to warn you it's coming. But wait a minute. Who better to be that judge? Nobody better to pay our sin debt. Nobody better to be ordained of God for our sake. But wait a minute. Nobody better to judge us than the one who was the God-man. And what that means is this. He understands God and he understands man. You say, what are you getting at there? I sometimes say this. I believe politicians often lose touch with what I call the common man. They lose touch. We've got people that are serving in office that have never worked a normal, what we would call a normal job in their life. They've always been in government. Just tell you, that's not normal. Nothing normal about that world. They lose touch with us. They get up yonder in Washington, D.C. They get wined and dined. They get influenced. They get, in some cases, paid. All right, you said, preacher, you're kind of critical. And I'm just trying to face the facts. You don't gain that kind of money with that kind of salary unless something's coming somewhere else. I mean, it's just a fact. And they lose touch with us. They lose touch. Now, they go to office and say, we're going to take care of you. But wait a minute, they don't even know how we feel. They don't understand you, that you work, you know, 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 or you know, 10 to whenever. Or, you know, they don't understand that. They don't understand the things you go through. They don't understand that problem because, hey, if we need more money, let's just pass a bill. Actually, they need more money. They come to your pocket than mine, you know. But I'll tell you, wait a minute. This is not an anti-politician sermon. This is a all for the Lord Jesus Christ message. See, he's the God-man. He understands us. He's been where we are. He's faced the same temptations you've faced. He knows what it is. Hey, he knows what it is to be hungry. He knows what it is to have those human thoughts, those human concerns, because he was man. But at the same time, he was God. So therefore, he understands the holiness and the requirement of God. He understands that completely. Wait a minute. He's also omniscient. Omniscient. You go stand before him, depending upon what kind of person you are, good news or bad news. Hey, you stand before him, there's no sleight of hand, there's no slick use of words, there's no, hey, well, let me explain that. Oh, no. You can't lie to him because he knows it. He knows it. I've found myself over the years in the Christian school dealing with kids, knowing what they had done because I saw it with my own eyes. And I wasn't taking the word of another student, but I've had them sit in the office and begin to talk to them about what was going on and what they had done, and they could put on a look like you've never seen. Me? I would never do that. And really, what they want to know: who told you? It's my word against theirs. But then I'd tell them, oh no. I saw you. I said, you were standing right here and you did this and this. Never forget it, in one particular case, two girls sitting in there and they looked at each other and they knew our goose is cooked. Hey, you stand before God, you're standing before the one that knows you. You're not hiding anything in this world from him. You say, well, I did it in the dark. It doesn't matter. He saw it. I'll tell you, it gets worse than that. Not only did he see it, but he knows your thoughts. He not only knows what you did, he knows why you did it. So there's no lying to him because he knows it all. I want to be honest with you. When I think of the fact that Jesus Christ is going to be my judge, I'm really sobered by that fact. Hey, I mean, that's amazing. Some ought to be scared knowing that he's going to judge them. Now, today in court, you can go and you can deceive. You can lie. You can try to manipulate the judge, the jury, and the whole process. But not so when you stand before the Creator of the universe. When you stand before him, you're standing before one that knows you. He knows me. He knows you. Like I said, he not only knows what we do, but he knows why we do it. We will do things and say, well, the reason I did it, and we lie about why we did it. You can't do that with God. Hey, he's the judge. Can I say this to you? The Bible said we're to warn people about that. We're to warn people about that. Hey, you know what? You may get away with it here. There's people that's gotten away with horrendous things on this earth. But they're going to meet the judge of the universe one day. They'll meet him. They'll stand in judgment. Stand in judgment. I don't know, but you talk about a sobering thought. That's a sobering thought. We're to preach. We're to testify of that. We're to give the identification of the one we're talking about, Jesus Christ. Hey, we're to let people know he was ordained of God to do that. We're to let people know, hey, he's going to be in charge of the adjudication. We'll stand before him. He'll judge us. But wait a minute. I'm real glad this chapter, this doesn't end with verse 42. Would you look at verse 43? To him. Now remember, we're talking about to him, Jesus Christ. Give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Hey, can I just give you some good news? There is an offer of justification. There is. There's an offer of forgiveness. There is that offer that comes to man. There is that offer that says, hey, you know what? You can have a clean slate. You can have a clean slate. Yep, he's the judge and he knows it all, but wait a minute. Hey, look how wide open it is. Whosoever. There's folks in this world today, there's people in the realm of Christianity today that don't believe whosoever means whosoever. But can I say this to you? Whosoever means whosoever. Whosoever. It's open. It is open to you. Wide open. It's not one of those things, well, I don't know if I qualify. Could I just point in here? You don't. And neither do I. But God still left the door open for us. He said, whosoever, whosoever. It's wide open and it's simple. It's simple. Whosoever doeth great deeds and spendeth great amounts of money. No, it doesn't say that. It's whosoever believeth in him. That's pretty simple. Pretty simple. Either you believe or you don't. Just that simple. You take him at what he said and believe what he said. You take this at his word. This is the word of God. You got a choice. Preacher, I just don't believe that. Your choice. Your choice. But if you want to, you can believe. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to us. We have the opportunity to accept the word of God and believe what he says if we want to. If you don't want to believe, don't believe. But you open yourself up for the judgment of God. Man, I don't tell you. I could give you all kinds of reasons to believe the Bible is the Word of God. But it doesn't matter what reason I give you. It's still up to you, believe it or not. It's up to you. It's up to you. But how simple it is. We've got people here that are poor. Most of us. Oh, I'm not looking at a lot of rich folks right now in the wealth of the world. Okay? There's some of you sitting here, you're living from paycheck to paycheck. And some of you are falling behind. All right? And I'm not making fun. I know it's tough. I know it's tough. But I'm so glad it doesn't depend on our economic status when it comes. That's not required. It's not required that you have great talent. It's just simple. Whosoever believeth. But not only that, I want you to see the completeness of it. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Shall receive remission of sins. To be remitted of your sins means to be released from the guilt of your sin. Turn loose from it. turn loose from it. Now, that doesn't mean that you have seared your conscience so your sin no longer bothers you. It means your sin's been paid for. It's under the blood. It's taken care of. The Lord Jesus Christ did for us what nobody else could do when he shed his blood on Calvary. And when we believe him and call upon him and ask him to save our soul, hey, you'll never have to face those sins again. Never. With him. Now, you may have to face them with people down here. Okay, you may have to face them with people down here. Because, hey, you hear me. You hear me. You wrong somebody here on this earth, and they won't forgive you. They'll keep bringing it up. If you break the law, you go to prison, and you serve time, hey, guess what? It'll always be on your record. It'll always be there. But when it comes to your sin, you trust Christ. They're under the blood, buddy. They're gone. They're no longer, they can't be found anymore. You don't have to worry about meeting them in judgment. Don't have to worry about it. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Just a while ago, you said we'll all be judged. And you will. You won't be facing your sin in judgment. What's going to face is your works. As a Christian, your works are going to be judged. As a lost man, your works are going to be judged. You say, well, I got a chance. You ain't got a chance. Not as a lost man, because there's no way your works can be good enough to buy your way to heaven. Can't do it. Because the Bible says all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. My work's going to be judged. But not my sin. My sin's covered by the blood. It's taken care of. Now, let me draw the message to a close. Would you go back and look at verse 42? All right? The Bible said, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify. He commanded us, to preach and to testify of these great truths. You said, preacher, wait a minute. Peter was talking about himself and his fellow apostles. Only problem with that is there's so many places in the Bible where the Lord commands us to do exactly what he's saying right here. This is not the only place it's found in the Bible. This is not it. It's found other places. We're to preach. We're to testify of it. Now, let me say this as we get through. You'll never do that until you have received remission of sin. Until you've been born again, you'll never preach and testify of the goodness and the greatness and the efficacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never do it. Never will. But if your sins are under the blood, why aren't you doing what he's told us to do? Why aren't you doing what he's told us to do? Well, preacher, now let me explain. No, you don't need to explain it to me. I'm not your judge. You're going to stand before him one day, though. What are you going to tell him? What are you going to tell him? What's your excuse going to be why you're not doing what he said? I told you at the beginning of the message, years ago, I found a way to stay out of most trouble I would get in. And it was just doing what I was told to do. As a Christian, God commands us to do some things. He commands us. Now, can I say this to you? Because I know how people think. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, okay, what do you want me to do? Give up my whole career and become a missionary and go? No. I just want you to take every opportunity you have to brag on Jesus. I want you to take every chance you get to tell people how good He is. And hey, what He's done for you. What He's done for you. That's all. That's what He is. He's commanded us to do that. You don't have to quit your job. You don't have to go out and sell everything you've got, get you a tent and backpack from city to city, stand on the street corner with a sign. You don't have to do that. But hey, I got news for you. You do need to tell people. You do need to testify of it. You need to let people know, hey, it's Jesus Christ. All the others are imposters. All the others are frauds and fakes. But it's Him. He went to the cross. He took my sin. He rescued me. And what He did for me, He'll do it for you. Hey, you're lost without Jesus Christ. I'm not surprised you're not doing what He says. Why? Hey, because you're lost. You're still dead in your sin. Still there. Man, have you been born again? God's given you everything He has. God's blessed you the way He has. Hey, in some cases, He didn't kill you like He should have. You're still alive and breathing. Why in the world aren't you telling people about Him? Why not do it? Why not testify of that? Well, I'm too busy. Well, you're too busy then. You're just too busy. I guarantee you, God gives us opportunity to speak up for Him. He gives us opportunity. And you say, what do you mean? Well, when somebody says, how you doing? How about just saying, man, the only way you can do is good when you know you're headed for heaven. Look, there's so many ways I could say it. There's so many ways to go about it. There's no excuse that justifies us not preaching and testifying of the goodness of God, that He's our Savior. He was the one sent. He was the one suffered. He was the one died. He's the one ordained to take care of. And He's the one I'm going to face in judgment. No reason in the world not to do it. But are you doing it? Are you doing it? Would you stand this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed? Hey, He died for us. God chose Him to be the one.